Now,
ladies and gentlemen,
get started. Broadcasting from the shores of the world's most beautiful beaches, this is the most talked about radio show in Bay County. The Brian Rust Morning Show. Melting down snowflakes faster than a blowtorch and doing it with a smile. Now, here's Brian Rust on News Talk at 101.
All right, welcome back to hour number three of the show. Good morning. Thanks so much for listening. Now, Chicago, man, we've talked about this a lot. And the violence that we see in Chicago, every morning we could actually give you the body count, the shooting count, and on and on. And I'm really excited about my next guest. His name is Matt Rosenberg. He is an author. He's got a new book. It's called What Next, Chicago? Notes from a Pissed Off Native Son. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, because I want to say, in the bottom of my heart, I really like to say that Chicago is a unique situation in the country. But as we've seen, it really is not anymore. And there's such violence all over the place. But, you know, with you being a Chicagoan, and obviously this is something that's close to your heart, you know, let's talk about what is going on in Chicago.
It's a complete breakdown of institutions, basically. You have a small minority, but an important, important minority of families and households that are failing to raise their young men right. And this is a problem with young men of color, predominantly, who are killing each other, who are organizing, armed robbery rings, organized looting rings, carjacking rings. The numbers are through the roof in our larger Chicagoland area on homicides this year. Murders in Chicago are very high this year. Carjackings are through the roof. So you've got a breakdown in parenting in enough households to make a difference, a tyranny of the minority. Then you've got a court system that's completely broken, schools that are failing, and city finances that are underwater. So that's all just for starters.
Yeah, it's amazing to see everything going on. And, you know, you talk about the homicide rate clearing 800 this year, which is just, that's a staggering number to think about. And, you know, every day you watch just the national news, let alone cue into the local news, and seeing the violence that you're seeing in Chicago. And you know, you gave that list of stuff. And we've got people like, you know, the state attorney, Kim Fox, who, I don't get her. You know, granted, she's one of those George Soros kind of people, but I don't get her with the ideology of, you know, let's not even prosecute anything. And then her and Beetlejuice, the mayor, you know, turns around, they're complaining about crime. And it's like, you guys aren't doing anything. I mean, what is the vibe in Chicago when it comes to, you know, especially looking at those two, which the people should be looking at going, hey, help us.
You know, the vibe goes back actually to our colleges and universities in the 60s and the 70s when the French deconstructionist social philosophers became, you know, au courant, you know. So it amounts to moral relativity, right, and what was called deconstructionism. And so it means there's no wrong. And there's no right, and we're guided by this false god of social equity, which means that, you know, the theory of disproportionality rules all. So, you know, if the percentage of your inmate population, you know, by race is higher than that racial group's percentage of the overall population, it's disproportional and it's inherently systemically racist. So they empty the jails. That's what's going on. And even before trial. So if a guy is charged with a carjacking, an armed carjacking, he's likely to get out on low cash or no cash bail before trial. They slap an ankle bracelet on him, but they got nobody really to monitor the guys with ankle bracelets on home detention. So they might go out very likely and do some more bad stuff before they even stand trial for the first charge. And sometimes that bad stuff will extend to murder while they're awaiting trial on, you know, an armed robbery or an armed carjacking. So, you know, criminal justice has turned into social justice, and it's driven by sort of lousy politics, the politics of racial guilt. So I think that's a large part of what's driving the breakdown in the criminal justice system.
Yeah, it really truly is. And it's sad to see that because in the long run, you know, it is a lot of the innocent citizens that are paying for this quote unquote equity and social justice. And I don't think there really is any social justice. I mean, I don't know if you saw the interview, the 911 dispatcher that kind of turned into the whistleblower.
Keith Thornton. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Talk about speaking truth to power. That's on fire right now. And, he's a Chicago Police Department, well, in Chicago Fire Department dispatcher. He's recently earned awards for his heroic work. Actually, when a police officer from Chicago was killed this summer, dispatchers play a key role. So this is a guy, and he's been a police officer in LA previously, and he spoke out. He was just simmering about the shortages. There are no police to staff the beat, particularly in his district where he lives on the northwest side of the city. And he called out the mayor on it really strongly. And it just blew up, went viral, and it speaks to the frustrations that a lot of people have had. Absolutely. And I think, so then, what do you do about this?
Right.
A couple of things. And there are solutions here. One of them is the mayor and city council members need to use their bully pulpit, number one, to legitimize police and policing. We've created a horrible environment for policing in all of our big cities, Philadelphia, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago, even New York. I think the new mayor, Eric Adams, is going to change that in New York.
Yeah, hopefully.
I look forward to that. You know, Adams is the right prescription, I think, if he lives up to the hype. A centrist Democrat who's, pro-police, pro-school choice, and all that. But then we have to have foot patrols in Chicago, and there's a vast literature on this in the journals. Foot patrols work in high-crime neighborhoods, but you've got to send them out in crews of, you know, three or four, because it's dangerous out there, even for cops. So to do that, you've got to build back your manpower.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, it goes back to the rhetoric coming from the politicians. Rhetoric does matter. So instead of calling politicians racist and just sitting there silent when BLM shows up, you know, make it clear. Use of force hardly ever happens. If you look at the real data on police contacts, most cops are not racist. They're good people.
Yep.
And a lot of them are from the hood. They're increasingly Black and Latino. So let's get our heads straight about the importance of police, and let's institute foot patrols for starters.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard to get that. I mean, even the dispatcher, you know, he came on and, you know, one of the interviews, he said, look, I've talked to the officers and they've said we're scared. You know, I mean, when they're scared, and police officers should never be able to the ones saying that, you know, how are we going to get more to want to join when that's the case? I mean, you've even got things like, the mayor of Chicago, Beetlejuice, going on saying, you know, hey, we're not going to take any responsibility for this. Instead, we're going to blame the business owners because they're not stepping up, you know, for policing stuff. And when I saw that, I scratched my head going, the heck did she just say? And my curiosity is, what do the people of Chicago think and say when the mayor won't take accountability for the police department falling apart and blaming business owners on rising crime?
There's a rising tide of dismay in Chicago. More and more people are finally saying, you know, basta, enough. You know, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
However, the challenge in Chicago is that doesn't always translate into votes come election time. Our next city elections are in 2023. We hide our elections in odd numbered years, with the first round in February and the final runoffs in April. That means we get 33% voter turnout for our city elections, but that same city of Chicago electorate shows up 70% turning out to vote for presidential elections. So one thing I propose in my book is change state law and shift city elections to presidential election times. The powers that be like it this way just fine, because just public employee union members and a certain other party regulars show up to vote. That's how we end up with the same stooges running the show for 6 or 7 decades now. So, you know, people gotta say, hey, it does matter, because it turns out that the political success strategy of Democratic progressives in Chicago is policy failure. In other words, they want to fail. They don't want, and it sounds cynical and horrible and weird, right?
Right.
But they don't want to fix things. They want to continue to hold power. And so people get dismayed and they tune out. They say, ah, politics, policy, who cares? It doesn't matter. It's all going to be crap anyway. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so the same general class of people continues to get reelected, you know, and they mouth their pieties and they institute there's a social program for everything. And what's never talked about is the role of the family, right?
Right.
And when I went deep into the South Side, as I mentioned to you before the show, you know, what I heard from blacks and Latinos in Chicago is big emphasis on faith, family, school choice, charter schools, even homeschooling, Christian homeschooling moms. I met with, you know, I mean, there's an alternate universe out there compared to what you get from mainstream media. So conservative values live and thrive in minority communities in our big cities. But getting people to actually show up or vote, you know, or to vote for a Republican or a third party, that's the tough part. They just often can't muster the gumption to do that. So it's going to be challenging, and we need more centrist Democrat candidates of color, like Eric Adams in New York, mm-hmm. who will help take this city back, and a big get-out-the-vote effort funded by some of the big wigs who want to throw their money at state races. Fine, do that, but pay some attention to the city. We've got some really big money people on the GOP side in Illinois, and they're focused on taking out the Democratic governor. I get that, but if you give up on your cities, you know, nothing is going to hold in this state.
Yeah, in a state like Illinois, where essentially Chicago is kind of the state. I mean, that's where the population center is. And you're right, and this doesn't necessarily need to be. And I push this all the time, because you always get, you know, Republicans can only support Republicans, Democrats can only support Democrats. But in a city like Chicago, I mean, realistically, does the GOP stand a chance to gain that city? Probably not. But this is a good time to focus on a center Democrat, which, let's face it, a center Democrat is very similar to a center Republican. You know, there's a very few things that are, you know, ideologically a little bit different. But that's one of those things I think needs to be, you know, supported on, is getting those centrists, because, you know, I talk with Democrats all the time and I ask them, why are you still a Democrat? Because they won't stand up against the progressives. And you really kind of need somebody that is that strong centrist, that the people can relate to. And, you know, the money, I guess, really, truly needs to be thrown behind the right people instead of, you know, all of this this progressive candidate thing going on.
Well, and I'll give you a great example. There's Latino alderman on the Chicago City Council named Ray Lopez. He's
right.
A great guy. And people may have seen him on Fox News. He's out, and his background is as a Democrat. He identifies as one. He also happens to be gay, for whatever that's worth. So this is not your typical a conservative family values guy, but what does he talk about? He talks about family values.
Right.
He's been out there calling BS on Lori Lightfoot, whose explanation for everything, including black-on-black crime, is systemic racism, total nonsense. And he says, look, you know, we've got generational gang culture, and we've got just about a total breakdown of the family in some households. And that is what is driving our violence. She's going, Lopez says, Lightfoot is, for the low-hanging fruit, you know, the cheap shot from the cheap seats. And, you know, you need to step up to this. So, again, I come back to what I've been saying is that the leaders of a city like Chicago or a New York, a Philadelphia, Los Angeles, where crime is running rampant, including murder. They've got to step up and say, look, we need two parents in the household. You need to do your job. Yeah, and we're gonna expand school choice for you. And this is where there's a type of Democrat I've seen that I like a lot. I call them charter school Democrats, and you'll see them in a state legislature or a city mm-hmm. council taking strong action to ensure better school choice for minority families. And they've got guts because most of the politicians in their party don't go along with that because, of course, they're intimidated by the teachers' unions.
Right.
So I've seen them in Washington State. I've seen them in Illinois, and they're good folks. So we need to encourage them, but we need to go a step further in states like Illinois that do not have full-on raging school vouchers, and we need that. Let's get closer and closer to the money just follows the kid, right? Mm-hmm. Charter schools are good. I want to see more of them, but there's all kinds of things going on. And what if they could just take that money to, yes, a private religious school? A lot of states allow this. So let's really expand school choice. Let's expand construction trades, job training programs.
Oh, exactly.
Those are key. When you see, like, this summer, 18 female black electricians got certified in a program on Chicago's South Side through a nonprofit. There's another program that does micro-lending to ex-convicts, so they buy Sprinter vans and start their own businesses running delivery services, feeding off the Amazon economy. You know, this stuff is brilliant. Let's have more of that on a broader scale.
Yeah, that's something that's really needed. I mean, you've got a major need for trades. And I talk about this all the time on the air, especially here in Bay County, Florida, where, we're still rebuilding from the effects of Hurricane Michael. And there's not enough people in those trades. And, it's one of those things that gets people off the streets. It gives them a better life that they can actually do for themselves. And it'd be great to see a place like Chicago do that. But, the school system is, and we're seeing this all around the country, it's one of those things where that seems to be the failure. And, I think if maybe we start getting a better hold of that, and, I say this all the time that, one of the places you can make a difference is on the school board, run for the school board. And we've seen it like in Loudoun County, Virginia, that wasn't, the big, bad, evil Donald Trump supporters making a mess there. That was Senator Democrats that were stepping up going, hey, hold up, wait a minute. And it'd be great to see something more of that in Chicago.
I couldn't agree more. People have to take their own government back. There's one way to do that in some cities. It's called the city charter process. And I actually mm-hmm. Have a column out this morning at johncastnews.com endorsing that idea for Chicago. It's something that's been talked about. We might have a ballot measure, maybe, don't know yet, in our next big election, 2023. But you basically write a constitution for the city. And in Chicago, we need to change from political management of all our government functions to professional management. That means like maybe a police commission runs the police department instead of a mayoral appointee who is guided only by the political hide and fears of the mayor. And you extend that to all your other functions. You get a legislative fiscal analyst in there who, like the Congressional Budget Office for mm-hmm. every city government, right? So they attach a fiscal note to every proposed ordinance. This is how much it will really cost us if we do this. And right on down the line, an elected city attorney, not a political appointee, term limits carved in stone for the mayor and city council, commitments to school choice and better scheduling of the elections for bigger turnout, affirming a value placed on electoral participation, fuller electoral participation. So a city charter, without going down too many rabbit holes, can nonetheless become literally a competence manual and a guide, an instruction manual for running a city. So I think we need to look at stuff like that in a city like Chicago. There's a lot of structural reforms that, verge on the fine print, but what I'm finding out is that the fine print really matters. We've got rigged rules of governance that go along with our endemic corruption in Chicago, which is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other show, let alone just a conversation. But yeah, you know, the city charter thing is a great idea. You know, here in Florida, that is something that we do have. And I know locally we've had a few city charters that have been worked on, and, you know, it's not a political thing, and that's community involvement. And maybe that's something that Chicago does need to look down. I mean, Chicago's a great city. You know, I've been there many times, and it's such a shame to see what is going on with a place like that. And, you know, some of these other great cities that we have in the country that are just being essentially destroyed by this progressive ideology.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. And I've lived in Chicago for 30 years. I've always come back. It's really still my second hometown. My other one is Seattle. So you can tell I really know how to pick them. But there's a lot to commend Chicago, and it's still got, strands of greatness wrapped into its DNA. And I've been back there for like 3 months at the end of this year. I'm back in Seattle right now, but going back in early January to Chicago. So is that dedication or what?
Yeah.
And I'm still sticking my nose into all of this stuff, even after my book was published in September. And the thing about Chicago and being back there this fall, I saw it again, is, the music, the jazz, the blues, the architecture, the intellectual firepower at our great universities there, mm-hmm. The neighborhoods, and most of all, the people. It's an amazing city.
Right.
So if they can only make
pizza correctly, it would be a fantastic city. I mean, that would make it.
You're not dissing deep dish, are you, dude?
No, not at all. Just because, a regular New York City pie is much better. I'm not dissing whatsoever.
All right. I'm just going to let you slide on that one.
All right. Well, we won't start a big fight. But yeah, it is such a great city, Chicago, and it's a shame to see such horrible progressive ideas ruin an area like that. And hopefully, some of these ideas that you brought up, can really take some root and really get going, because Chicago can be saved. They just got to go in a different direction. People need to step up.
They absolutely do. And I tell you, 2023 is a year to watch. We've sort of seen a revolt of the cities start last November in a number of cities, New York, Minneapolis, some things happened, San Francisco, things are starting to happen. And there's a school board recall election on February 15th in San Francisco that's really interesting. You've got a couple of district attorneys facing recall votes on the West Coast. Even Seattle here, we elected a Republican city attorney because the other candidate wanted to end the police. So if even Seattle has its limits, its breaking point,
right,
then, all hope is not lost. So it'll be interesting to see, what happens in the next round of elections in all of these major cities that are having trouble now. But people have to step forward, and apathy is no longer an option. Either leave town or roll up your sleeves and get engaged. That's what I say.
Absolutely. Matt Rosenberg, new book is out. It's called What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. I started reading it last night a little bit. Great book. We got a link for it on our Facebook page. Go grab that book. Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Great conversation about Chicago. And hopefully that city can turn right around and learn how to do some pizza and get everything else. Get everything else in line. Matt, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. I hope you have a fantastic new year, and we'll definitely have you back on the show again sometime soon.
Good talking to you, Brian, and that sounds like a plan.
All right, Matt, thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. We got a break for Fox News. We will be right back.